I am surprised that the Bronx are here after yesterday's game. That's pretty good. You guys aren't sick today either. I was looking for that text, but that's all right. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 15 here. And I want you to notice a few things. If you do mark in your Bible, I want you to see something here. In verse 12, the word negligent. The word remembrance. Verse 13, that word meet, that is there. We see remembrance repeated in verse 13. In verse 15, the word endeavor, followed once again by the word remembrance. Now let me read those verses. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, certainly do love you, and I thank you for your word, and I ask for your help this morning. Lord, I pray that you control, Lord, what I say and how I say it. Please even bring to my memory the things that have been studied this week. Lord, help me to present it in such a way that it'll truly be a help to us. Lord, help us to focus on you. And that you would allow this to work in such a way with your spirit that it would truly change us. I do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly been converted, I pray that perhaps even this morning that they would repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, may you be glorified in all that is said now. Lord, I love you and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We come to an interesting portion here in chapter 1, these few verses, 12 through 15. It's really a glimpse into Peter's heart. You can really see Peter's pastoral heart in this section of Scriptures. You can begin to see his approach to ministry or his approach in how he would serve God. We are given things here that show different principles, I believe, that guided him as he determined how he would follow God. We have already witnessed in this chapter and throughout the book how Peter has stressed the importance of diligence, the importance of knowledge, of knowing truth. We know that he's coming up in chapter 2, which is sort of the thrust of the book getting into chapter 2 with the dangers of false teachers and false teaching. And being prepared for it. He surrounds that chapter with him stressing the importance of knowledge, the importance of diligence. If you remember, several years ago, going all the way back, I believe, to 2016-17, I went through the book of Hosea on Wednesday nights, which is just an incredible book. It was the very first book of the Old Testament that I chose to go through. And it's a book that focuses on what was taking place in the northern kingdom right before they were destroyed. Right before God sent judgment because of the rebellion, because of them turning against God. And remember, as we went through that, keep in mind, even though they were filled with idolatry, sin was running rampant, they thought that even before God, we're okay. We're all right. Just like multitudes today. And it's within that book that the Lord tells Hosea what was really going on. All this wickedness, all this idolatry, the deception, how they deceived their own heart, this entire half of the nation of Israel. The Lord said to Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." There's such an importance to knowing truth. There's such an importance to understanding truth and allowing that to guide you. We have seen much take place even the last 30, 40 years within strong churches. You can see a weakening coming into where there's even almost a de-emphasis on the actual preaching of the word. That would never be spoken that way. My point is this, it would almost be that way too often. And for those of you that ever do get an opportunity to preach, and many of those that preach here, you never do this. You never just grab a verse and use it as a springboard to talk about what you want to talk about. You are responsible for preaching the word of God, for presenting the truth of what God's word is presenting. And in the book of Hosea, as we know, the people were destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. There's such an importance to knowing truth and understanding. I'm going to quote from one commentator when he was talking about chapter 1 and 2. He said this: if we are successfully to survive the onslaught of demon doctrine brought on by demonic seducing spirits through hypocritical, lying, false teachers, we must have knowledge. We must know what we believe. We must know our spiritual condition. Christ talked about parables even when truth is given. That how, many times that's just not enough. Just the fact that it's given. How the seed can be sown, but there's such a battle then for that seed. Just like with truth that is preached and taught every single week, I am telling you, there will be a battle for that truth. You had better be on guard. When the devil comes in with the seducing spirits and the false doctrines, he doesn't come in with a sign saying, hey, I'm getting ready to deceive you. It appears as an angel of light, as a measure of truth. Eve, listen. Hath God really said? And if you look, he gave a measure of truth. Peter is stressing diligence and knowledge, or what comes is destruction. Ask the Northern Kingdom. In this section of verses we just read, these few verses, 12 through 15, we still see the same theme, but it's from Peter's perspective of his heart. His desire to truly be a help to Christians, understanding the dangers that were there and the concerns that were there, and not wanting them to fall away, not wanting to succumb to the seducing spirits, to the false teaching that was there that he knew was coming into churches and hurting them. His desire was to see them stay faithful. And in doing this in these few verses, what really grabbed my attention was almost a pattern for all of us and how we serve God and how we approach our salvation with what we have been given to do as we serve the Lord. And this morning I'm going to cover 4 points. Number one, remember. Number two, responsibility. Number three, require. And number four, resilience. If we are going to serve the Lord as we should, we're going to see the importance of remembering knowledge, having it being brought to your mind over and over and over, the importance of having that in place in your life. Not only that, but being responsible with what you have been given before God. And then to be able to do what is meet or what is required of us. And finishing all that up with resilience, being willing to endeavor to be diligent with what God has given us to do. So let's look at this morning. Number one, first R was to remember. As I've already pointed out, before I even read the text, we saw the word remembrance mentioned 3 times, in verse 12, 13, and 15. When I was originally putting this sermon together, that was the direction I was going with it, just on that aspect, because that is primarily what this text is going for. It was drawing that out. But it was then, as I was studying it and just seeing the different things and saw a direction here where you can see the principles that was guiding Peter's life, that I went a little bit different direction. But nonetheless, I still need to develop here what is taking place with the importance of remembrance that Peter is drawing out here. Truth always needs repetition because we forget so easily. He knows they've heard it. He knows they're established in the present truth. But he knows they have to be reminded. There are times we have to be reminded. When you come in here on Sundays, you have to be reminded of the greatness of your salvation. You have to be reminded for all that the Lord has done for us. You have to be reminded, as Peter has just done, that you have all that is needed, that is necessary from God for life, for doctrine. You have all that is necessary for it. Everything that pertains to life, godliness, to be reminded of those great and precious promises. And I thought about it. This time is not going to allow for that right now. But just there, my mind started running on, all right, maybe I should just run with some of those great and precious promises that God has given. You have to be reminded of those. Even though you're established in the present truth, you have to be reminded. How often did Christ reprove the disciples? Those closest to him. For not remembering what he told them. Or not remembering what they had been taught through the prophets. What they had learned in the scriptures. Even to the very end, after he arose from the dead, addressing, "Oh, slow of heart." There is the reality that is so true that Christians so often can forget the greatness of salvation, the greatness of God, and that is easily a springboard for your life to wander off into sin. It's why we come. It's why it's so important that we're not taking away services each week right now with all that's going on. Coming in so much the more to be reminded of the great truths. To be reminded how great God is. Because you have other things pulling at your attention and pulling at your heart. And you have to come in and say, "No, yes, life is about God. It's not about me." Listen to me. If truth is not ever present in your thinking, often brought to remembrance to you, even though the truth is great, even though the truth is good, it will not have influence over you as it should. When you come to church, it's not about looking for something new for me to come up here and present you. It's looking to be reminded. It's looking to be reminded what you already know. To allow that to challenge you. As Peter's going the direction, he knows, man, there's so many false teachers out there. He understood what was at stake. Again, if truth is not present and often reminded, it will not have the influence over you that it should. Peter knew that our minds tend to get accustomed to truth when we hear it. Take it for granted. Sadly, this is so true because of our sinful nature that all of us have. You are susceptible to this. You have a sinful nature. Sadly, we forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget. When the church sent Mary and I to Israel a couple of years ago, one of the places we visited was the Holocaust Museum that was there. And when we were there, it was packed, but it was packed with school children, was packed with an element of new military members that were coming through. And as we were there, we learned that the school children, I can't remember how often it is right now, it escapes me, but they were required to go. It was not an option. You will go there and you will see that. You will be reminded. Boy, that's so important. Let me give an example of what's happened in our own nation when we weren't reminded properly. 9/11. we have cities, major cities right now, actually electing Muslim officials. I was watching, it was so sad, it was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, 6 months ago, I don't remember when it was, but it was one of the well-known conservative people, and he was out on the streets, universities, asking college-age students what happened on 9/11. What was that all about? The ignorance of that day was enormous. Many of them would finally get to the conclusion of it, but it was like, yes, and people flew planes into buildings. Well, who were they? It was astonishing the level of ignorance that had taken place. Because not being reminded and reminded and reminded of that truth, it opened the door, even in a national sense, to false teaching. Let's look at it right now, that an element of this country believes where a demonic doctrine has come in that has presented now America as the evil. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, that happens so much the more in churches all the time. And just like it's taken our nation on a road to destruction, that's the end of that, which is the point of 2 Peter. The Lord Himself establishing, of course, for the Old Testament, Passover, for the New Testament, we have communion. A specific time set just for remembrance on the suffering, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be reminded, to have it strengthen us. And does it not do that every time, even though you are established in that doctrine? I could ask you, what happened on the cross? You could describe it, but nonetheless, when the time of remembrance comes up, how it does strengthen you, helps you get refocused on what's right. There's also a necessity, and this comes to all pastors, to be effective in presenting the truth in a manner, as Peter presents it, that stirs you. Because for many, truth becomes familiar, and that's dangerous. To have it presented in such a way that it still grabs you, that it wakes you up. Because when it's too familiar, that truth loses how special it is, how important it is to you. Philippians 3:1, Paul said this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." It's what's needed, to be reminded. It's right, it's good, it's safe. I read, and as I was studying for this, one, I don't remember the commentator who it was, gave a really good example of the point he was making. And I thought about actually illustrating it, but I thought it'd been a little bit too distracting. But if we had just trying to frame a little wall up here or something like that, and I took a nail and I hit that nail and it took. It's there. It's still sticking out. That 3-inch nail still sticking out maybe 2 inches. Is that good enough? No, you got to hit it and hit it and hit it. The same thing with hearing knowledge and truth. You have to be reminded of it, reminded of it, and reminded of it. There's so much false teaching, so much wrong direction that's all around us. We need to be reminded a lot. We went through Psalm 119. If you go back through that, you're going to see over and over and over that the man who wrote that, again, we're not sure. I believe it was Ezra. It could have been David, could have been Daniel. There's several people it could have been. But being one of those men facing just really, really difficult circumstances, a great challenge in life. He said things like in verse 16, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." 83 says the same thing. "I will not forget thy statutes." Verse 93, "I will not forget thy precepts." Verse 109, I will not forget thy law. Throughout 141, verse after verse, "I will not forget." You've got to be reminded. You got to be able to stay faithful, come in, be ready to hear, so you can be reminded how great God is, how good your salvation is, the truth and the promises that we have. And then from there, with Peter, what I want you to see now with these next three points is this. Is what guided Peter as he served the Lord. Verse 12, he said this. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. That had grabbed me the entire time I was studying that. The word meet and the word endeavor. Peter is saying here that I will be responsible with what God has given me to do. I will not be negligent. He is older now. He is in his 70s. He's at the very end of his life. He said, listen, I am not going to be negligent. I will be responsible with what God has given me to do. Peter was told by Christ, the very day that he would deny him, when the Lord said, listen, Peter, he let Peter know, you are going to deny me. And of course, Peter denies it. But the Lord told him, Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, what did he tell him? Strengthen thy brethren. He knew what his responsibility was before God, to feed the sheep, to feed the people. He knew the responsibility, the position he had. And in that responsibility, he determined, I will not be negligent. I will be responsible with what God has given me. So this morning, what is it that God has given you to do? And are you responsible with it? Or is there a measure of negligence? We are to take our Christianity seriously as a responsibility. Listen, stop blaming your poor spiritual condition on others. Take responsibility for where you're at. Look to see, Lord, where have I been negligent? A great example we have, I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but nonetheless, Joseph, in every position God gave him, wow, did he take it with such responsibility? There's not one place he was that anyone could charge him with negligence. Not one. Also, what came to mind as I was studying this was the parable of the stewards given talents. Teaching the importance of responsibility when God has given you something, not to be negligent, but to be responsible, to be faithful with what God has entrusted to you. There's not a one of us in here that God has not entrusted to us something. Some of us we have trampled, some of us we've looked to put it aside, some of us we look to ignore, because many times it just simply went against our flesh and what we wanted. Instead of you seeing the greatness of God and driving towards that, and what we see from these different, from the parable of talents, from the life of Joseph, from our text here, is that God always looks for those who are responsible, those falling through with the responsibility with what has been given them, what talents they have been presented with, if you will, what opportunities have been given. See, we learn from this that God does not base one better than another based on greater opportunity. What God looks at always starts with who we are at our heart level. He looks at, are you faithful with whatever opportunity you have been given? That makes it equal across the board before the Lord. You have responsibility before God. Whatever it is that He's given you, are you responsible with it? How do you use your intelligence? How do you use your voice? How do you use your time? If you would just see yourself, you're His creation. Not only that, He redeemed you. You're His. The time you have, it's the Lord's. By the way, there's nothing greater. You have sold yourself for a fake pearl if you think there's something greater than giving that time and energy than to the Lord. Nothing's better than that. So we see when Peter approached ministry, he understood, I have a responsibility. I will not be negligent. And then we see, coming down verse 13, he says this, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Here we see another thing that guided Peter's life. He said, "I thought it meet." This means really, I thought it right. He saw this really, this is meet. This is what's right. This is what's required. We are required to do right. He said, as long as I'm alive, as long as I have breath, I'm going to do what is meet. I'm going to do what is right. Doing what is right many times is not easy. We can get into the danger of this, of making decisions based on what's easiest instead of based on what's right. So are you doing what is meet, what is required, what is right, what is appropriate? You do what is right, what is meet. We can look at it at a very human level with responsibilities we have in life of doing what is right, taking care of your business, to do what is meet in the everyday things of life, to stop procrastinating. Quit putting it off on someone else. Quit finding a reason, an excuse for why you can't do the things you know is meet. Pay your bills. Keep your house. Keep your yard. Don't ruin your testimony because you don't even take care of the things you have. Well, come to mind as going through that, there was an independent Baptist missionary who was in Cavian right before Terry Thrun was there. So glad he was there just a short time. I did not know much about the man, but when I got there, oh my goodness, was it sort of a battle with Cavian when they found out I was a Baptist missionary. He had a horrible testimony. Nothing immoral, anything like that, but a horrible testimony before that town, which is the capital of that province. Owing people money, not faithful with things he was given to do. Horrible testimony. Listen, be responsible with your life. Do what is meet in all areas of your life. That transfers over not only to that the practical side that I just gave, but also to the spiritual side of your life. Do what is meet. Do what is right. Stay faithful to your reading of the Word of God. Stay faithful to your prayer time. Do what is meet. Witness to others. Men, lead your family spiritually. Do what is meet. Don't be negligent with what is meet. And then lastly here, resilience. Let me read 14 and 15 together. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Just great two verses right here. And I made for this point the word resilience. Peter said here, "I will endeavor." By the way, that's the exact same word earlier in this very chapter that was translated as diligence. I'm going to endeavor. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to stay diligent. I will be resilient when it comes to this. But he is now connecting this to his life and the little bit of time he had left. He knew his time was short. And the truth is, life is short for every single one of us. We should desire to finish strong, to be resilient, to endeavor, to use the time that we have wisely. Peter referenced here when Christ told him basically just about when and how he would die. He knew from John 21 that his death likely would be crucifixion. It was a common saying in that time when with crucifixion being a form of torture and execution, the stretching out of the hands, which is what the Lord told Peter would happen to him in John chapter 21. Peter now references again back to that. He knows my time is short. Keep in mind, Peter has to be in his 70s when he's pinning this word down right now. He knows the little bit of time that he has left is so short. He compares it to putting off a tabernacle, a tent, if you will, if you're not familiar with that term, referring to his death. He would be leaving his body. To quote from one commentator in this passage, I like what he said. He said this, referencing how Peter referred to his body as a tabernacle, a tent. He said, it's a beautiful way to see the body. Your body is only a tent, a temporary, transitional place for your soul to live. And someday it will be folded up and your soul will move to another place, abandoning that tent. So true. I was reading this morning in my devotions is in the New Testament, is in Romans chapter 8. And just the reality set in. I'm going through it, and then I'm getting into the second half of the chapter where it talks about why the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to what is coming. Just a reminder that that truth of all that is coming to be changed. I mean, new heaven, new earth, of all that is actually coming. Peter says, listen, I know my time is short. I know I don't have long, but I am determined. I will stay diligent. I will stay resilient till the end. None of us know when our time is up. We need to endeavor to use our time wisely, to stay diligent with our faith. Peter says, listen, I've got spiritual responsibilities. I'm not letting them go. I will stay with this till the end, until I put off this tabernacle. Just think about this. Here's Peter. He's close to death. Look what's consuming him. Think about it. He's 70-some years old. His life is near the end. He's been serving the Lord all these years. And look, it's still consuming him. He sees the dangers all around. He says, I am not quit. As long as I have breath, as long as my soul is still in this body, I will endeavor. I will endeavor to stir you up. To bring you to remembrance. In other words, Peter didn't check out to go do a bucket list. He could have said, you know what? I've been faithful all these years. I got a year left here. I'm going to go do what I want to do. He didn't do that. That's not what he did. He stayed faithful. He understood that the things of this world and what it offers really just don't matter. He wanted to strengthen other believers. He wanted to help others stay faithful to the Lord. He wanted to help in the lives of other Christians with their walk with God. He wanted them to stay faithful. He says, as long as I'm here, as long as I have this breath, I'm going to stir. I'm going to write. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. I'm going to do what's necessary to try and help others stay on course. Because he knew that's what life is about. The word stir there means to awaken you out of sleep, to awaken out of laziness, arouse you from being lethargic, to quicken you. And the truth is, we need to be stirred. All of us can become so complacent, we don't even realize it. Peter said, I'm going to serve until the end. This aspect of Peter's life shows just how, in truth, he was God-centered. And not self-centered. We can be so self-centered with our life. And we know this about Peter. He stayed faithful to the end. I'm going to read to you something that was said about Peter's death that we know from tradition. We're not certain that this took place, but it's what was being reported as early as the second century. It said, before he was crucified, he was forced to watch the crucifixion of his wife. It is said that during his wife's crucifixion, he stood at the foot of her cross, continually encourage her with the words, remember the Lord, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. He's watching his wife being tortured and dying. He would be right after her, by the way. The tradition says that after she died, he willingly died, only insisting that he not be allowed to be crucified like his Lord, because he was not worthy. And he insisted that they crucify him upside down, which they allowed. The man stayed faithful to the end. Do you think he regrets that? Maybe he should have just retired and toured the Mediterranean. Stay faithful to the end. For that to take place, we've got to have a God-centered approach on life. It's not about us. It's about Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed.